What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Junkies back with you on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, we appreciate you checking us out on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM. We're streaming live coast to coast via the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team today. We thank you for tuning in this Monday morning. It's July 7th, 2025. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop.
What's up, boys?
What's up?
Welcome back, Mr. Bickle.
Eric Bickle is here, back from Dallas.
Good morning. How are you, boys?
How was Dallas, Texas? Was it super hot?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Million degrees. Course, we were in the convention center for a lot of it. No big deal. Dallas is boring. It's exactly what I remember it as. It's just a big spread out city of boringness. But yeah, we had a good time. It was great to spend time with the youngest and her team. And yeah, it's great. We got back on the late on July 3rd, right home for the 4th. And
yeah. Did you go see the fireworks? Doubt it.
No, I'm not a fireworks guy. Out on fireworks. Fact. It was kind of interesting when I was flying in on the 3rd. Some people were doing fireworks, like, you know, home fireworks. You could kind of see them going off late at night.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool when you're above it. But no, not a fireworks guy.
Did you do fireworks?
No. I saw them on TV even from my bed.
So I didn't do fireworks, but it's the first time that I went to a house and it was a pool party where they had big time home fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been around little home fireworks. You know, step up above a sparkler. This was almost like, you know, watching them on TV. But I will tell you, I am such a scaredy cat. And there were some others that were like this, that I was not going to be anywhere near the explosions.
Oh, no way.
And one time, one of the fireworks fell on the guy's driveway. And you would see him light them up, and then he would sprint away, and then they would take off.
Mm-hmm. Of course. First, you see the obligatory stories every year about the guys who, you know, blows off in their hand. Jason Pierre-Paul's them.
That was the cover of ESPN.com on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Him talking about his regret.
Yeah, it was some rapper that it blew his hand off. I don't know. It just seems so dumb to me. But, you know, it's fun when other people want to go through the trouble of doing it. I can remember being in Ocean City a couple of years ago. I think it's a big thing at the beach. And we're just sitting on the deck and watching the fireworks down there. That was fun. But for the most part, I'm over going to some lake or something and sitting there and getting bitten by bugs.
Remember that one year we went to the University of Maryland golf course?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I do actually remember
me and vividly. You and the ladies.
Yep.
And we had our chairs out there. I can't remember. We probably brought a cooler. But we just sat there on like the third tee box and just watched
that. Was probably in like the mid-90s.
Mid-90s, yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably the last time
I
saw fireworks.
Do they still do that out in College Park? They probably do.
Probably.
Probably still leave College Park.
I assume.
It?
Somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see all the illegal fireworks going off here in the Navy Yard? I think there were so many, and there were cops were everywhere.
I have no idea.
Trying to arrest these
people.
They
were arresting people?
Oh, they were trying to. But
yeah.
So the big news as we step into the show is Mike Rizzo out and Davey Martinez out with the Washington Nationals, which you started to hear the noise a month ago. I know the week that I was off, you guys had a good interview with Mike Rizzo about Davey's future. But they're both out, and it's somewhat understandable. In six seasons since they won the World Series, there's only one team with the worst record.
Mm-hmm.
It's results-oriented businesses.
Hey, there's nothing like a controversy in early July on sports radio when there's nothing to talk about. But this is a big one here locally.
Yeah. We're going to have
Mark Lerner confuses me, and we could talk about it for 4 hours. He's a confusing man. I understand that you're saying that it's a bad team with bad results over the last 5 years, but they lost 11 straight games and he didn't make the change then. They had just beaten the Tigers in a best out of three, and they won the series. What if they would have swept the Red Sox? Would they not have fired him? Or would they have fired him because their contract options are coming up? It's very confusing to me.
Contract options is definitely a factor.
Yeah. Well, after 11 straight losses, they didn't fire him.
Well, I think they relied on Mike. I don't think Mike was going to fire. I mean, it was pretty obvious. Mike was not going to. He was not going to fire Davey midseason. He may not have.
No, he wouldn't have.
I mean, it wouldn't have been his choice, I guess, to re-up him.
Now, who knows what
happens
behind... But he wasn't
going to fire him.
Who knows what happens behind closed doors if Mark said it's fire him or it's both of you?
It's very possible.
It's very possible that happened, but it's just it's very interesting.
We're going to talk to Chelsea Janes, National Major League Baseball writer for the Washington Post, at 8 o'clock to get some insight. Also, Barrios Verlugo from the Washington Post will join us at 9. I saw that Rizzo sent Verlugo a text.
Oh, great text.
The sun will rise up tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. One of the most important part was that I navigated that ownership group for almost 20 years. That was the dig. That was the shot
right
from that text.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him. And I think there probably is a lot of truth to that.
Mm-hmm. So they've elevated the senior vice president and assistant general manager, Mike DiBartolo. Lerner said, DiBartolo is a smart and thoughtful executive, and we're fortunate to have him as part of our organization as we hold the number one overall pick in this year's MLB draft and look ahead to the trade deadline. We're confident in his ability to lead the baseball operations staff through these next important months. Apparently, he started as an intern a couple decades ago.
He's like an analytics guy. He's like a math genius.
We've met him.
I don't remember. I remember over there meeting a bunch of guys.
Yeah, we met him in Riz's suite.
Yeah, I just don't remember. Yeah, I remember meeting a bunch of guys.
Yeah, I remember the name.
And then when I saw the picture of him, it just didn't look familiar to me. Mm. But I remember meeting a bunch of guys, and all the guys huddled around their computers.
Yeah. You know? Maybe it wasn't when we were all in, but I definitely met him. Maybe it was when I brought my family in, but I definitely met him once.
I've forgotten already. Did we end up not having Rizzo on last week?
I think he was traveling or something.
No, we had him on last week.
It was the week before.
He was on the West Coast the week before. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, he had a great run. He kind of says that there. He had a great run. Most guys don't have that kind of run.
Totally. You know what? The sun's definitely going to rise for him, and he's going to get to sleep in. He's going to spend a little time with his child.
Yep.
And he's going to
he'll have another job next year.
He'll have another job whenever he wants. He's not going to have to beg for a new contract every other year.
Right.
So. And maybe he's going
to
be fine.
And maybe he'll work for an ownership group that wants to actually win games and go out and spend money on free agents.
He'll be absolutely fine.
Yep.
But
still a big
deal. End of an era. And, tip your cap to those guys, both those guys, for helping architect and bring a World Series championship here to this town so desperately needed.
It is curious that they fire him. And they fire Martinez just before the draft.
Oh, yeah. A lot of ramifications.
It's almost unprecedented. I did read in this ESPN article that Kansas City did this in 2006 when they let go of their GM and replaced him with somebody 6 days later. So,
yeah, I mean,
you got the draft coming up. I remember actually last week, kind of behind the scenes, Drab had sent me a text and was like, remember that word association did with Dan Quinn? About Jaden Daniels and the draft choices before the draft. He's like, we should do that with Rizzo next week. I was like, guess we're not doing that.
Man, we can do it with DiBartolo.
Will he come on Wednesday? We'll find out.
I doubt it.
Yeah. There were a lot of people tweeting us whether Rizzo was coming on. I was like, I don't think so.
No. Those days are done.
I doubt it. Hey, listen, we'll get more into it. We've got 4 hours to do. When we come back, let's get a little update on Cakes. I'm following that from afar. I'm sure you guys all have been. Nice a couple double ups yesterday. You guys sitting pretty, but we'll give you a full update on that. Yeah.
I saw that there was about 9,800 people that started. What'd you say? There's about 3,000 left?
Oh, I think there's less than 2,000.
Less than 2,000?
I think. It's a war of attrition. It's a war of patience. Mm-hmm. And so far, Cakes is doing great. You got to tip your cap to him.
Yeah. Awesome.
Did he get accommodations all the way through the week, or does he have to keep adding like every day?
Who knows?
Don't know.
He's not paying that much for a hotel.
He told us last week what his deal was. I think he had the hotel room through the 9th. Didn't he say that?
Oh, okay. So he's fine.
Through Wednesday, and then he can just jump on rooms if he's still alive.
If he's still alive and he's actually cashed, he'll be more than happy to pay for that hotel.
Of course.
All right, so we'll give you an update. As I mentioned, Chelsea Janes from the Washington Post will join us at 8, and Barrios Verlugo, columnist for the Washington Post, will jump on at 9 as we talk about what the Nationals have done. If you want to chime in, you can always hit us up at 800-636-1067.
End of an era.
for the Lido Pizza text line. Lido Pizza is a local favorite since 1955, serving pizza, subs, jumbo wings, and salads. Lido Pizza Square, because Lido Pizza never cuts corners. For locations or to place your order, go to LidoPizza.com. You can text us at 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charge may apply. You can also hit us up on Twitter, at Junks Radio. When we come back, we'll fill you in on cakes at the World Series of Poker in Las Vegas. Before we get to the cakes update, a couple other things to point out about the Nationals. And if you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067 with your thoughts on the dismissal of both Davey Martinez, the manager, and Mike Rizzo out as general manager and president of baseball operations. Jeff Passan points out, when you look at their salary, their payroll, the top two guys right now that are the highest paid players on the Washington Nationals aren't on the Nationals.
Correct.
Strasburg retired, and Scherzer, who's with the Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
They are your two highest paid players on the Nationals payroll.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked about that.
So
many
there's
times.
That. Now, on the negative side towards Rizzo's ledger, a lot of people criticize the draft choices that they've made in recent times that none of them have panned out yet. Brady House, third baseman, was the number 11 pick in the 2021 draft. He's done well in the minors, hasn't done anything yet in the pros.
I think he's done okay so far.
Elijah Green, drafted number 5 in 2022. He's in high A ball. And then Dylan Cruz, it's a little early, took him with the number 2 pick in the 2023 draft. But there have been questions about their player development and some of the draft choices. Now, the Juan Soto deal has paid dividends. James Wood makes his first All-Star game, as does Mackenzie Gore. So those are going to be your two Nationals representatives in the All-Star game. C.J. Abrams has been really good. But beyond that, the draft has been criticized.
The draft heavily criticized. Yeah. People praising his trades, by and large. Free agents pickups have been, you know, so-so. Some good, some bad. He'll point to, obviously, the run they made from 2012 to 2019, whatever, when they won 4 titles or whatever, won a World Series, just went on a ridiculous run, where they were the first or second most winningest team in that time.
Mm-hmm.
The problem has been they just really, you know, they've kind of fallen off since.
I think there are only two teams with the worst record this season. And yes, like I said, only one team since they won the World Series with the worst overall record.
Yeah, you can make the argument. Shouldn't really be a big shocker to anyone. The timing is, I think, the biggest one, as you touched on. The draft a week away, the season winding down. They didn't make a move a month or so ago. But clearly, they had big decisions to make. I don't think there was a scenario where they could bring Davey back. And, you know, I don't know. The Mike thing, just, I don't know. I don't know.
It's crazy, especially since the draft is next week. Yeah. And maybe they've already settled in on that top pick, but, you know, you got more than one pick you have to
take. What's interesting is they have all those guys that are doing all the scouting still there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Mike would just make the final call or, you know, but
he'd be the biggest voice in the room.
He wasn't the one individually scouting those guys.
No. And they haven't, right
it
now,
it just doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
They're going to announce that today, right?
They are. They said today.
So right now, they don't have a manager. Right.
I assume it'll be Hickey. Maybe it'll be someone else, one of the bench coaches. I have no idea.
It might be the AAA coach, because those are Davey's guys.
So yeah.
Unlikely, possibly, that those guys would want to slide in.
I thought they said LaCroix, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. As for the draft choice, they say the two leading candidates are Ethan Holliday, who's a shortstop, brothers playing for the Orioles. Father, of course, was in the major leagues, and this left-handed pitcher, Cade Anderson from LSU, both represented by
Scotty B.
Scott Boras.
Yep.
Can't get away from that guy.
They're used to that.
What are you going to do? The nature of the beast. Be happy when that guy retires. Boras.
But you know what? Look, when you're the second worst team in the National League, we've talked about the teams this year that have already made moves, all right? The Orioles made a move. The Pirates made a move. The Rockies made a move. The Nats have made a move, all right? So the teams that were struggling at the time all fired their managers. Now, it's rare to fire your manager and GM on the same day. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen very often.
I think they said last time it's happened like 10 years or something. I don't know.
I thought it was 2006. What were we talking about? Wasn't it the Royals?
I thought that was a different.
Or maybe that's before the All Star the draft.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't happen very often, and now you've got different people making all the choices until the end of the season. We'll see what happens at the trade deadline. Obviously, the draft is next week, but
to me,
a lot of people will say, "Okay, I can see why you would make that move. The team has struggled." But again, on the flip side, ownership since Ted Lerner passed away refused to spend money.
Yeah, they haven't been particularly involved.
So is it something on the scouting side where they haven't been hitting like they should at a good clip on these top picks?
Sure, well, for sure. That's why he rehauled the whole thing.
Sure, and he fired a bunch of those international scouts, but. The fact that your boss won't go out and get you big money guys when you're in a division where there's nothing but big money guys, you're between a rock and a hard place, man.
I'm Team Rizzo all the way, but I mean, I get it. You know, the team just, the bottom fell out. And that's the thing that I just struggled with a couple weeks ago before I left for Dallas, was the team being 30 and 32 or whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
just a month or so ago. And then just to have just an awful June and then, you know, just backing it up again with another awful July. Wild how quickly things can change, but you know, in hindsight, and when you look at it, you know, from 2019 till now, they don't have a good record. They don't have a lot to show for it. I do think they have some good young players. I do think that the guys got screwed a little bit with some of these injuries, but every team has injuries. So we'll see what they do, see how active the Lerners are. I've always maintained I've been like the weirdest defender of the Lerners throughout all this. Like the Lerners right now have replaced Dan Snyder. And not on the same level, and it's a different vibe, right? You don't have, like, workplace issues and that sort of thing that Dan had, you know, all the inappropriateness and just I mean, Dan was a debacle times a million.
Yep.
But the Lerners have become sort of like everybody's whipping boy in town for sports. And I've always maintained that I think that when they become competitive or get close to being competitive, they'll start spending money again. But that's, you know, that's just a leap of faith.
They're also not that close. When you're 16 games under 500... You know, and you look at the lineup.
Not with this current roster,
though. We love Abrams, love James Wood, but you know, what did they have out there yesterday against the Red Sox? Alex Call leading off.
Yeah, but he's been playing all year. Jacob Young,
Rosario at second base.
I'm just saying that 6 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, they were basically at 500, and it looked like they were trending. And I agree, the bottom fell out.
It's a long season.
It's wild. I thought they were closer. You know, 6 weeks ago, clearly. So we'll see. I mean, maybe they're light years away. Maybe they're 10 years away still.
But the question is, was it just the fact that they were outscored 27-9 in the Sox series? Or were they going to make the change anyway, no matter what happened in the series?
Well, I think that they were not going to renew Davey for sure.
So were they going to make, even if they swept the Red Sox, they were going to still fire him?
I don't know. I mean, then they would have been in a weird situation because they needed to kind of make a decision on the contract, and then he would have been a lame duck. Like, it would have just been weird.
Yep.
So, it almost from a timing sense, it actually kind of makes sense.
From a timing sense, it does.
But
now,
it's all weird.
Based on
sure.
what happened. But from a timing sense, it would have made more sense after an 11-game losing streak.
Right, because I weren't. Yeah, I guess they
But
just
who knows
ready.
what was going on behind closed doors? We have no
we
idea.
We have no idea. I don't doubt that they were pressuring him. But I think they also, by all accounts, they love Davey too. Like, the Lerners really like Davey.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows? It was a cavalcade of terrible events. They looked like they were kind of building towards something. I really believe that. And then it just fell apart completely. So.
Passan points out on ESPN that there also was a sense that Rizzo was tethered to Davey.
But definitely. Yeah. I have that sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I said to him 3 weeks ago. Right or wrong, fans wanted a scalp. When they were in the middle of that losing streak, they wanted something.
Mm-hmm.
And Davey was not going to do it. Mike was not going to do it. Davey was his guy. He wasn't going to blame it all on him, despite the comments and everything else. Those two guys were kind of tied at the hip, and that's why this all yesterday kind of actually makes sense. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah, the only thing is, and there's not enough time to completely shake it up. When you just keep the guys who are right underneath, what kind of change do you expect?
The same guys. They're the same scouts. You got the same Cambridge Analytics guy, Mike DiBartolo. He's now the head guy. He was right in Mike's ear for the last 10 years.
Assistant.
Yeah.
I mean, every once in a while, there'll be an assistant coach that takes over and changes the course of a team. But more often than not, it's more of the same. All they're doing is rearranging the deck chairs here.
A little bit.
But that's just temporary. Yeah. When they hire a new GM, they'll have their own new scouting department. They'll start from scratch all over again.
Yeah.
You can't fire everyone
the
week before the draft.
The question is this new GM, whoever it is, going to have to deal with the same stuff?
I think until they are competitive.
Unless it's a tank job just to sell at the end of the year or sell in the offseason, which I don't know if that's going to happen. But the new GM, based on track record, the new GM that comes in, unless he's hires an unbelievable scouting department and they're just killing it in the Dominican and drafting these college and high school kids, he'll be dealing with the same stuff.
Yeah.
His highest payroll guy will be Nate Lowe, $10 million.
Because of the situation, I don't know that it's a super attractive job. Like, you take it because it's an MLB job, but if you're going to be hamstrung by the owners for the next 5 years or, you know, the foreseeable future, is this the one you really, really want? I don't know.
1-800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. So, Cakesy, fill me in. I've seen a couple of the updates, and we retweeted a few at Junks Radio.
Well, yeah.
He's in Vegas for the World Series of Poker. $10,000 buy-in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was staked, but $10,000 buy-in, and how many players did you say there were?
I think it was 9,800.
Wow.
It was close to 10,000.
I mean, I'm always amazed when we have our poker open and have 700 people. So, basically, 10 grand.
Yeah, because they're playing for like $10, $11, $12 million in top prize money. The main event gets the people. You're asking the wrong guy for daily updates. My wife has actually been monitoring Cakes. I've been monitoring it. You know, when he makes his posts, I saw that he was drinking a margarita when I got up around 4 a.m. So about 1 o'clock his time.
How many chips do they start with?
I think they started with 60,000.
Yeah. Okay, because I saw at the end of day one, I think he was under 60,000.
He was hovering right around it. I think he had at one point maybe had 68, 69, then at another point he had like 58. So he really was just breaking even.
Right, but he survived day one.
Survived day one.
Do you then get a day off or you go right back at it?
There's like 4 or 5 day ones. Okay. Right? So you got to get all those day ones in. And then
so he survives day one, kind of hovering where he was.
Yes.
And then what I saw yesterday, he did a little selfie video where he said that he doubled up. Now there was a lot of poker jargon that I wasn't necessarily following. He talks about the villain and blanks and
well, the important thing is that he doubled up again. So he doubled up from like 60 to 120, and then later in the back end, I think the last level. He doubled up to like 260 or something. So and then they bagged his chips and he's chilling. I guess he comes back today.
So 260,000 in chips. Now, this would be my question. What is the average stack right now?
I don't know at that point. At the 120, he was right around average. At the 260, I don't know. He's probably a little bit above average. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think when he was doubled up to 120 something, he was right around average. But you could call Dina. She'd been monitoring it.
He's in 247th place right now.
Pretty great.
That's excellent.
Pretty great. The main event is it's a test of your patience, and I've been very, very impressed with Cakes' patience. Those 2 hour levels are huge.
Here's what I'm reading: that the average stack on day two of the World Series of Poker, it says 133,000 big blinds.
No, just what is the average stack? Just what is the average stack? 133,000? That's probably close to accurate.
Just the first thing that popped up when I put it into Google. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
If anybody knows, I know a lot of people are tailing Cakes. You can call us at 1-800-636-1067. It's pretty exciting. He had his Cakes Classic, like a warm-up, a tune-up, the day before.
Well, he's been prepping for this for years. It's something that he's always wanted to do, is play the main event. Most amateur poker players would love a shot at the main event. He's really, really dedicated himself to poker over the last 10 years or so.
And, says pretty much all he ever watches every night is old World Series of Poker.
He's as prepared as anybody could be. It's perfect, and it's a great... It really is a great event in the sense that you have plenty of time to play it out. You don't get rushed by, 40-minute or 30-minute blinds and, 30-minute levels, rather.
Mm.
So you really get an opportunity to play and see some flops. I think he was card dead most of day one, it sounded like.
All right.
But he started to run into some cards yesterday.
Cakes has 276,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Average is 180.
Yeah, but he's doing great
right now.
But he's a little bit above average.
A little above average right
what
now.
What is the chip leader? About 1,900,000
Just under 1,000,000
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, he's doing great. He's doing great.
He's in the mix. If you start with 10,000 people, essentially, Jason said 9,800, and you're in 267th place.
That's what I read.
To me, that's pretty good.
It might be over 10,000.
Yeah, I just said, look, he just got to stay alive. Chip in a chair, stay alive, stay alive, stay alive. If you find a way to get into the money, and then, you know, just free rolling the rest of the way. It's great.
Isn't he pretty much free rolling the whole way?
I mean, he is, but I know he really wants the cash.
Of course.
You know, but yeah, and he's doing a great job giving his updates too. I think his updates have been really entertaining.
Saw somebody offered him Coke.
I saw that. Yeah, there's somebody on.
He didn't say whether he said yes or no.
I assume he said no. By the way, what was the update on the sex trip? How many did you guys ask him?
Did not ask.
I don't think we even asked.
You guys didn't ask him.
We didn't.
I was not as obsessed as you.
That would have been your question.
I was thinking about how many times Cakes had sex on his sex trip.
How many times did you have it in Dallas?
Well, I was with my family.
A separate room?
No, zero.
Oh, yeah, that's a monkey wrench.
Yeah, I mean, zero.
We completely forgot.
You completely forgot. No interest.
Didn't even think about it.
No interest. I was thinking about him when I was in Dallas. By the way, in Dallas, I do want to give an anecdote. I know Mark Cuban is peripherally involved at this point with the Mavs. That guy has done an unbelievable job of marketing. When you get into, now I went, there's like two main airports out there. I went to the Love Airport, smaller of the two, not the Dallas-Fort Worth. There are huge murals of the Mavs kind of everywhere, all over the airport. You get outside the airport on the building. There's
Cooper everywhere.
Anthony Davis, Kyrie. I mean, just massive murals of them. More than, like, I didn't see a mural of one Cowboy.
Right. They're nothing. All in on Cooper.
The Mavs.
Don't care about the Cowboys.
The Mavs marketing, but this is something obviously they've been doing for a decade or more, mm-hmm. is everywhere.
Have they taken down all of the Luka stuff?
I didn't see any Luka stuff.
Yeah.
I was driving by what I believe was the Mavs practice facility every day, which is just right there. But I went to Dealey Plaza.
Did you have any celebrity sightings? Give me your celebrity sightings. Because I can't remember who I saw. I saw a video.
Yeah.
I don't think it was an athlete. It might have been a comedian.
You saw Adam Sandler was there.
Maybe that's what it was.
Adam Sandler was there, and I think LeBron was there maybe at one point watching his daughter. For me, I always see Jared Jeffries.
Like, you see the same donks.
I see him at every tournament. And others, I'm not even looking.
But you don't talk to them. You just kind of see them, right? You never talk to them.
No, I got no interest. What would I say?
Well, I don't know if they were...
Jason would go up and say, big fan or something like that.
Not to Jared Jeffries.
When you see him, like last year was Peyton Manning. You always see different people. One year it was Kevin Garnett. When you see these people, they're not so approachable. They don't want to be bothered.
I'm sure they're not. I just didn't know if you were playing, if your daughter was playing against their teams.
No, there's just so many big donks.
Yeah.
There's probably a bunch in there and you just don't even realize it.
Right.
Because there's thousands and thousands of people there. But yeah, Dallas big dud. But I have to give props to the Cubans people. And I don't know who's in charge of that now, but they way outmarket the Cowboys. I know the Cowboys are way bigger. But like when you just walk around town, you just see more Mavs stuff than you do Cowboy stuff. And I recognize that the Cowboys are 10 times bigger. But it's just their marketing is phenomenal. They've blanketed the city with Mavs. They look like icons in that town.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
They're looking forward to the season. I know that.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to get Kyrie back, but who knows if they make another move. They can make another move and acquire another big-time player.
Right.
They are all in.
And again, I did go to Dealey Plaza. I'm not interested in sightseeing at all. Zero. I have friends that are in Europe currently, and they send me all the pictures, and I'm like, great, I'll never have to go. I had to go to I couldn't believe I was literally driving on the way to the convention center, and it said, literally there was a sign, it said Grassy Knoll. And I got freaked out, and I couldn't believe we were that close, and made a big point of emphasis of walking over there, did the whole route, we drove through the route.
Right.
There are a ton of people there.
Memorials everywhere.
Well, there's just a ton of like plaques and guys selling tchotchkes. And people going out there and taking their picture on the street on the X where, JFK was shot. Two different locations there on Elm Street. Really, really sort of surreal. That was cool. If you ever go to Dallas, skip the rest. It's mostly like Florida without the beaches. It's just like strip plaza after strip plaza.
I've only been in Dallas one time, and that was when we did the Super Bowl show.
Yeah. It's.
I got no interest in going back.
There's no reason to go back. There's no reason to go back.
No.
All right. Got to take a break.
Summer.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067 is the number. We got Chelsea James from the Washington Post joining us at 8 and Barry Zwerluga at 9 to give us their insight on the Mike Rizzo dismissal and Davey Martinez also fired for the Washington Nationals. Here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. Chelsea James, National Major League Baseball writer for the Washington Post, will join us at 8 o'clock, talk about the direction of the Nationals. At 9 o'clock, Barry Zwerluga is going to join us, columnist for the Washington Post. He received a text from Mike Rizzo after Rizzo was dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk to Barry Zwerluga coming up at 9 o'clock. Let's dive into the Junkie Sports page right now, though.
It's brought to you by my favorite team, the all-new Malloy Chevrolet of Alexandria. For huge spring incentives, it's actually summer incentives now. It means lower prices on your favorite models. Head on over. You can ask for Josh Cochran. Make it Malloy at Malloy.com, just like I did. All right, so when obviously the big story is Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez being let go a couple hours after being swept by the Red Sox. It was just a terrible series for the Nats because their starting pitching was dreadful. Soroka, Parker, and Agawasara were all pounded. They were outscored 27-9 in the series. Mm. And in fact, I believe the Red Sox batted around twice in the series. They just completely pounded them. So after the embarrassment that they suffered to Boston, they made the move. Were they going to make the move anyway? Possibly. We don't know. They didn't make the move after the 11-game losing streak a few weeks ago, but they decided to do it. And the All-Star break is next week. The draft is next week. They've got a 6-game road trip before they head to the All-Star break. They will play St. Louis starting tomorrow, then they'll go to Milwaukee. Mike DiBartolo will be the interim general manager. He was the assistant general manager under Mike Rizzo. We don't know who the interim manager will be. Could be someone called up from the minors. We'll have to wait and see. They said they'd make that announcement today.
But there were only 26,000 people at the game yesterday.
How many?
26,000 for a nice weather Sunday. I think that's low. If you look at their average salary, it's not horrible.
Yeah.
But I got to believe that that is a factor, too, that the attendance has dipped a little bit from where it was.
Well, yeah, so, like I said, weeks ago, the fans have wanted a scalp for quite a while now. And Mike certainly wasn't just going to offer up Davey. And if he wasn't going to do it in the middle of that 11-game losing streak, he clearly wasn't going to do it this year. Now, whether or not, I think it's pretty obvious the team, the learners weren't going to renew Davey, and probably not Mike. From what they did, they fired him. Wild.
And I'd like to hear from the Nats fans. You know, we took calls a few weeks ago after that mini controversy with Davey not criticizing the players in that post-game presser. He was, you know, standing up for his coaching staff and basically saying the players got to step up, they got to play better. We asked Mike about those comments too, but we took calls then, and there were a lot of fans, you know, I don't know if it was split, but there were a lot of fans that were on Davey's side, and they agreed, and they were kind of against Mark Lerner because they were blaming Lerner more than Davey based on the roster. But I'd like to hear from callers now. How do you feel about both Davey and Mike being let go? That's a big deal.
Yeah, I think by and large, Nats fans wanted a reset, and I don't. Yeah. And you can understand it just because they haven't been successful the last 5 or 6 years. But I don't want to miss the opportunity to say those guys deserve our respect for what they did bring to this town, which is that World Series in 2019 that we'll never forget, and that incredible run that they went on from 2012 to 2019. You know, they were hoping to get to that again. And I don't doubt eventually that they would get there, mm-hmm. but you just had no idea. It didn't seem like it was imminent, that's for sure. And you can understand kind of what the learners did. You kind of can understand it.
If you look at the attendance figures, from 2012 through 2018, they always averaged over 30,000 fans. In 2019, it dipped to 27,899. Then you had the COVID year. The last 3 years, it's been between 25,000 and 23,000.
Mm-hmm.
Just think of the loss in revenue there.
Makes sense if your team's going to finish last every year. You know what I mean? And they've got the second worst record in the National League. If you look at their draft history, just in the terms of the first rounds over the last, I don't know, call it 10 plus years. We can't give up on Dylan Cruz yet. I mean, he's barely played. Brady House is finally up. He was drafted 4 years ago. He's finally up. We've talked about Elijah Green. He might not even be close. Some of these pitchers they drafted, Cavalli and Rutledge. Rutledge looks like a bust. I mean, he's had injuries, but he's not very good right now. Cavalli, we have to wait and see. Carter Kieboom, Busterama, right? Carter Kieboom was not good. Eric Fetty's still pitching. He's with the Cardinals, but he was a first-round pick. Never pitched like it. Giolito, they drafted in the first round. He's on like a fourth team. They traded him to the White Sox for Adam Eaton. Now, Adam Eaton helped win a World Series here for the Nats. But the last guy you can look at is probably Anthony Rendon in terms of the first-round picks that actually worked out for this team.
It's kind of a damning record.
And that was in 2011.
Is there anybody who's upset that they got rid of both Rizzo and Davey Martinez? I think the expectation was Davey would be bounced out of his job. I don't know that many people expected Rizzo to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the problem is that Rizzo had to beg for a contract every other year. You know, they were never sold. They were always kind of on the short side of paying these guys. I think they were always kind of underappreciated. And it's not a surprise that the Lerners thought, yeah, maybe we'll move on from Mike too.
We all liked Rizzo. The problem is the results. It's hard. I get it. We can pin it on the owners and the lack of spending, but it's hard to get away from what Jason just pointed out, second worst record in the entire major leagues since they won the World Series.
Yeah. There's a lot of people to blame, but I'm just wondering whoever comes in here, whether it's going to be DeBartolo or I can't imagine he's going to keep the job, but maybe he does, depending on how they play the rest of the year. But if they hire a new GM, is, you know, one of these hot assistant GMs from one of these other hot teams next year.
I'm not sure a hot assistant wants this job.
Maybe not.
Why would you want it?
Whoever they hire, is that guy going to be dealing with the same restrictions that Mike has been?
I mean, if you're a hot assistant, you're going to wait for a better job.
I don't agree with that in this respect. You brought up Snyder before, and I think it's a good comparison in terms of what the fans are starting to think about Mark Lerner and this crew, right? Well, Snyder had a terrible reputation, and every couple of years he'd bring in a big-name coach from Schottenheimer to Spurrier to bringing back Gibbs to Shanahan. He was bringing in heavy hitters, and every time we kept saying, like, who's going to want to come here? And then, boom, two-time Super Bowl winning coach.
For many of those years, Dan was spending money. For many of those years.
Yes.
The last few years, they've clearly decided they're not going to invest big time in this team.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, are they going to do that when they get competitive? I've argued that they will, but that's just, you know, I'm probably wrong.
But you've said that a million times. When they get good, they'll spend.
I agree. But now you can't tell me it's a bad job.
I mean, they let Davey dangle and suck for years. They were so patient with him.
Listen, it's a hope. It's my belief, but it's a hope. So until they prove it, I don't think it's a great job, Drab. I don't think it's a great job. Look, it would be if they would spend and give them the resources that everyone else has.
But
we said
when they get good, 5 years later, that's they're still in last place.
I'm just hoping that nothing can
be surprising. We all love Mike Rizzo, but nothing can be surprising when you're not showing improvement. 5 years later, you're one of the worst records in baseball.
I said that, I can understand the move.
And there's other teams.
I can understand the move, but I don't think it's a great job. Yeah. If you think I differ.
A lot of people are angry. Maybe the blame pie is equal. I mean, a lot of people are taking it all out on the Lerners today, but maybe it's equal. Davey hasn't been great. Mike is some good, some really bad, and the Lerners haven't spent.
But well, Jason just went through the draft choices.
Of course, that's true.
I think it's totally true. It's pretty damning when you go through the draft choices that most of them haven't worked out of the top guys.
The first rounders.
It's totally true. That's why he rehauled the whole thing.
Yeah. He recognized that. There's no doubt about that.
But there are different ways to skin a cat. There are teams like the Reds, the Brewers, the Rays that don't spend any money that are competitive. I mean, the Tigers have one of the best base record in baseball, and they're 19th or 20th in salary.
Hey, good luck to you. Yeah. Go hire those guys. Let's see if you can get them. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see them be super competitive.
All right, we'll come back. A bunch of people want to chime in. We'll take some of your calls. Do you think this was the right move for the Washington Nationals at the right time? Because that's a big deal, too. They've got a draft coming up in a week where they have the number one pick. Mm-hmm. And they just whacked their GM and their manager. Did the ownership make the right move? 800-636-1067.